Hi, Abby.
Hi, Dilma. How are you?
Yeah,
All
very
right.
good, very
I'm
good.
getting ready to hit start now.
Great. Hello, everybody. As you're entering the webinar, just bear with us. We're going to give it a few seconds here and let people finish joining until we get sort of a critical mass of people. But in the meantime, thanks. If you're here for the Expand AI program webinar, you found the right place. And it's a webinar formatted Zoom meeting, which means your opportunity to submit questions is going to be done through this Q&A module you'll find in your Zoom toolbar. So please feel free at any time during the webinar to enter any questions you have. I will show you an outline of the topics we're going to cover. And after that topic has gone by, if you have questions about that, you might post them afterwards. So again, welcome and just bear with us. We're up to 70-ish participants. Expecting some more. Okay, for those just entering the webinar, again, I'd just like to welcome you informally here and let you know you're in a webinar format, which means if you want to interact with us, please feel free to enter your questions into the so-called Q&A module, which you'll find in your Zoom toolbar. So thanks, Edgar, for your help with this. And thanks to everybody for joining and putting this webinar on. Let's call this a start. My name is Jim Donlan. I'm one of the program co-leads in the Expand AI program together with Abby Alamoka. And we are joined by a number of program officers who are part of the Expand AI program working group, some of whom you may have met before and some of whom you'll hear from later on. Gabriel, next slide. Just a quick introduction here. Go to the next one. I'll just, thought we had a sort of an agenda slide. We're going to be covering a number of topics in the regarding how to interact with the Expand AI program, how to prepare your proposals and those sorts of things. So as I mentioned before, please enter any questions you have in the Q&A module. You might wait to see if that topic's been covered and then enter any follow-up questions you have. But before we get into the content of the webinar, I'm very pleased that we've been joined by our leadership, Dr. Dilma Da Silva, who's NSF Assistant Director for our home directorate, Computer and Information Science and Engineering. So if we go ahead and drop these slides and let Dilma put hers up. Dilma joined NSF as the division director for CISE's Division of Computing and Communication Foundations in June 22. And since December, she's been good enough to step in as our acting assistant director at NSF for, as I said, for CISE, which is the home of this program and the AI Institute's program and other computational issues related to AI. Dilma is on rotational assignment to NSF from Texas A&M University, where she holds a Ford Motor Company Design Professorship and is head of the Department of Computer Science and Engineering. System software researcher with emphasis in operating systems and distributed computing and broad interest in computer science education. Dr. Da Silva is also a distinguished member of the ACM. I'm very pleased, Dilma, that you're joining us today to greet us and to put Expand AI into a broader context of NSF AI strategy. So
thank you. I'm so pleased to have the opportunity to talk to you guys. So Expand AI is an NSF-wide program, one that all of us are very excited and proud of being part of. But I thought it would be helpful to understand it in the context of CISE for a little bit. So if you look at the Director of Computer Science Information and Computer and Information Science and Engineering, overall, it's you can see that we have three themes. One is the usual, let's get computing better, faster, and adapt to new technologies. That's the usual one. Then, and let me, I think I may have something on the front of my screen here. And then the other one is the transcendence of artificial intelligence. So this is artificial intelligence that will evolve the science, but also thinking how it is impacting society. And we like to refer to it as AI for everyone. And there is also the angle of how all these systems and software and you know, data that we collect, that we develop, that we innovate, how they actually impact our society. So AI is really critical for our directorate. And what happened is that NSF is very well aligned with the national AI strategy. So the national AI strategy has been developed to make sure that it can really benefit the country, society in general. And we do have the core missions of advancing the science, you know, the foundational knowledge, the user-inspired work that really addresses societal challenges, and to grow the US AI workforce. So the reason that I'm like telling you this is that for NSF, and maybe that was not that clear to me before I joined NSF a year and a half ago, it's really about the science, seeing how the science is impacting society, but the workforce is really important to NSF's mission, and really important to all the programs that we have. And with Expand AI, you will see that very clearly. A really important aspect of our national AI strategy is the 25 artificial intelligence research institutes that we have funded as of now. And they cover a very broad spectrum of themes, addressing many things. And you can see that this is a lot of institutes geographically covering a really good part of the US. And it could be an overwhelming sense, but we also have this virtual organization, this community hub that is helping all of us to be able to really connect and leverage the learning that we get from one institute into the other. And now with Expand AI, you know, the awards that we already made and all the details that Jim is going to be telling us very soon, this virtual organization really helps all of us to navigate the AI institutes. And it will be really critical in we getting the sum of those 25 institutes to be much more than each one separately. Last fall, we had a very exciting day when we went to the Hill with representatives for all those 25 AI institutes, and we could then really have them engaging with congressional staff and connecting the science with the societal challenges. It was really amazing. And then 90 days ago, more or less, we had the AI executive order. So, you know, this is really getting the whole government, all the agencies to really focus on safe and secure AI in ways that, you know, advance our society. And NSF has a list of tasks that it is, you know, designated to do. And one that I want to talk to you about that we are really excited is the National AI Research Resource Pilot. So the vision for the National AI Research Resource is to have this infrastructure that can be widely accessible by researchers, students, educators, where discovery and innovation can help. So this is about having computing, data sets, software libraries, test beds, educational materials, all the ecosystem to get the ability to be innovating and pursuing AI to be democratized. So we will be continue to evolve this vision, and we launched the pilot yesterday at 11 a.m. So this pilot has 11 federal agencies. So NSF is leading with 10 other research agencies providing resources, data, knowledge. We have 25 partners from industry, nonprofit organizations. And the goal of this particular pilot is to enable right now research into safe, secure, and trustworthy AI. Addressing AI challenges in healthcare and also environmental and infrastructure sustainability. We have a pilot, we have a lot of things out as of yesterday. I hope that you get a chance to take a look at it. And because we do have a portal where you can find a survey where as a researcher, educator, or a student, you can Tell us what would you like to do in such an infrastructure, and we also have a national a initial call for access to actually be using it, and a lot of more to come. And I try to be really quick, Jim, so that we can focus on what really goes. But let me just emphasize here that Expand AI is one of the favorite programs for all of us here. I think everyone, when the group was putting this together and going around to find the resources at NSF to do, we're all eager, all the divisions across all the directorates, we're really eager because we see that that's the way to get innovation done, is that you get, you know, a lot of people there already, and you connect with other institutions where the talent resides. They may not have the direct access to the infrastructure, to the research, to the ideas, into the venues to get those ideas heard. And we think Expand AI can create that path. Thanks, Jim.
Dilma, thank you. Anytime you bring that much value, there's no need to be quick. We really appreciate you coming in and visiting with us and getting, you know, painting the picture at a strategic level.
I think quick it has already been almost 10 minutes. So, you know, professors, you know, I love teaching. So I have to try to be quick, otherwise it becomes a long lecture.
Delightful. Thanks so much. Okay, Gabriel, if we could have the main slides back up. And so thanks. We'll just go on to the next one. And Dilma's done a really good job of helping us launch the context for the program. Next slide, please. She has already situated for you the idea that Expand AI sits in this broader ecosystem of AI investments to include the AI Institutes program. And because Expand AI is closely affiliated with the Institutes, Expand AI is also served by that virtual organization that Dilma mentioned, AVO. So please, where it comes to your proposal plans for Expand AI, and especially concerning the partner track, consider AVO to be a facilitator and a resource center for questions you might have about who are the institutes, what do they do, and who in the institute should I talk to about potential partnerships. And you'll see more about that in the partnership section. But just so you know, what AI institutes are major investments, $20 million a year for 5 years in their initial award. And they have a focus on those areas that Dilma said must be done in a kind of effective combination: foundational and use-inspired AI research, innovation and education and workforce development, and the kind of partner development that's illustrated in the Expand AI program. And of course, NSF's joined by a number of external partners in making that program and the Expand AI program happen. So we're really grateful to all of our external partners as well. Next slide. So Dilma showed you some logos of the active institutes. Here's sort of a full accounting of the current logos we have. We've stood these institutes up over the course of years, and we have a solicitation out for our next round of institutes as well. So strategic AI investments in NSF are certainly continuing to grow, and we can expect that to provide an increasingly robust context within which you can think about developing your own AI programs and developing new partnerships. And next slide, please. So with that background out of the way, we're going to dive now into the main meat of the matter, which is details about the Expand AI program and how to engage with it. I think I'm turning over to Dylan, or is it Abby?
Abby.
Hi, Abby. Yep.
So let me briefly introduce myself. My name is Abby Ilomoka, and I am co-lead, one of two co-leads in the Expand AI program. I work in the Education Directorate, EDU for short. My disciplinary background is electrical and computer engineering, and I have the honor of having used AI to optimize chips during my days when I wore the professor hat. So I'm very pleased to bring you information on the Expand AI program. Next slide, please. So an overview of the program. What is this program about? Well, when the AI Institute programs had taken off, we basically took a good look at who was involved in AI, nationally speaking. And it was very, very clear that a lot of the minority serving institutions were not as involved as they should be. Now, there's a couple of different reasons for this. But after much discussion, we came to the conclusion that one way to effectively involve MSIs, minority serving institutions, in the AI enterprise would be to, number one, either build their capacity, their ability to do AI research through education and workforce development in AI, or to give them an opportunity to scale up whatever research they had in progress by partnering with an AI institute that was already a hub for research in AI. And so that those discussions gave rise to the Expand AI program. And as you see on this slide, the program goal is to diversify participation in AI research, education, and workforce development, either through building capacity for institutions that have very little or no capacity, or for institutions that have significant capacity already, giving them an opportunity to partner with one or more of the national AI research institutes. And this is because there is recognition that there is a lot of talent at the MSIs that needs to be tapped into. And a lot of the talent may be outside of STEM fields. And this is an opportunity to draw in folks who want to experiment with, who want to do work with AI in whatever field of study they are engaged in. On the bottom of the slide, we stress the capacity building, the partnership, but the third check, the check mark on the bottom here also reminds us that MSIs have some unique situations that perhaps you don't find in other institutions. And so we worked hard to lower barriers to success for these institutions by, first of all, requesting submission of 2-page concept outlines, having very flexible submission windows, and having those submission windows run year round. So we put in a couple of things to ease the process for minority serving institutions, if you want to put it that way. Next slide, please. This slide summarizes what we have experienced so far. The program is about a year and 3 months or 4 months old. It was launched back in October of 2022. The solicitation number is 23-506. If you look on the right, there is a diagram there that gives you a summary of the number of proposals we received, 32 in total. We awarded 11. This is in FY23. We have 12 pending and we declined 8 proposals. So that gives you a snapshot of what has happened in the first year. So once again, to ease the burden on faculty at MSIs, we have flexible submission windows. There is not a single date deadline. And these windows are contiguous. So when one window ends, the next window starts on the next day. The 2-page concept outline is a low level barrier in the sense that you can put together your ideas in 2 pages very quickly, and you can send it off to program officers and they can take a look at it. And typically within 2 to 3 weeks, we'll give feedback. I do this in the other programs that I work in anyway, when a PI wants to figure out whether or not they're on the right track for the program, I'll say, send me a 1 or 2 page summary of your idea. So this is the principle behind the concept outline. We do lots of outreach. Live webinars like this happen maybe once or twice a year, but they are recorded and they are placed on the website for folks to access at any point in time. We have office hours every month, currently on Monday afternoons at 3:00 p.m., the third Monday of each month. And if the third Monday is a holiday, we push it to the next Monday. Let's see, we do presentations at events, outreach events, such as PI meetings, conferences, and we do one-on-one virtual meetings with PIs. We've had an enthusiastic response, well over 100 concept outlines submitted. 45 of those resulted in proposal invitations, and we've actually had 32 proposals submitted. Next slide, please. So back to the operational aspects of the program. So one track is the CAP track. This track is for institutions that have zero capacity or very little capacity in AI. And we truly mean that. Many PIs have come and said, well, I have no faculty, no courses, I have no curriculum. Am I eligible? Yes, you are the type of candidate that we're looking for in the CAP track. We need to see enthusiasm, creative, transformative ideas for institutional change in AI. So we're looking for folks who have creative ideas about how to establish either AI research activity, AI education, including courses, certificates, training of any type, and infrastructure. Obviously, you will need infrastructure to be able to do anything. So these are planning and growth efforts based on starting up AI activity in any field, business, healthcare. So not necessarily the traditional NSF STEM fields, cuts across all fields, STEM and non-STEM. So that's track one, and that is 400,000 for up to 400,000 for 2 years. You can come back for multiple caps if you need to do scaling up to prepare for partner, for example. If after the first track you haven't quite, you're not quite ready to partner, you can come back for another cap opportunity. The other track is the partner track. And this is for MSIs that have significant capacity in AI. And there are quite a few of these. And the idea is to encourage these MSIs to partner with an AI institute that is doing research in an area that is related to the work that is happening at the MSI. And so if your MSI is focused, say, on cybersecurity or healthcare, signal analysis for disease prevention, disease prediction, you can partner with an AI institute that is working in a related area. And in that way, you can scale up your research activity at the MSI, and at the same time, also probably scale up your educational activities, and form this rich partnership with one or more AI institutes that will enable faculty to move their research, move their teaching, move their activities to the next step. So that's the partner track, and the award for that is 2.8 million maximum over a period of 4 years, 700,000 per year. Next slide, please. Keeping an eye on time here. You can click through so that we see everything. So this slide actually summarizes what has gone on and what the status is. 16.3 million in awards in FY 2023. We had 6 CAP awards and 5 partner, and they spanned from AI research to AI education and workforce development. You can click again and again. The awards were quite widespread. They were spread across 6 states. 2 were EBSCOR, 2 were HBCUs. So 2 awards went to institutions, MSIs in EBSCOR states, Tennessee and Puerto Rico. 2 went to HBCUs, Tennessee and Texas, and 9 went to HSIs. They were funded by 5 or 6 different directorates across NSF. Next slide, please. I think we're coming to the last one. Click again, please. Yeah, just keep clicking. Okay, so this slide summarizes the different topics covered by the awards that have already gone out to give you some idea. Remember, we've had 5 partner awards and 6 capacity building awards. So wind farm grid connection is an example, AI infrastructure, AI curriculum development. Many of the proposals have this component included, security, cybersecurity primarily, medical systems, coastal and atmospheric modeling. So you can see that there's a broad range of different fields, some of them non-STEM. We have social media for juvenile justice as a topic from, I believe it was a business school, a PI from a business school. So there's a range of different application areas that we have funded so far. Next slide, please. This last slide, and keep clicking until we have the whole picture, basically takes you through the process so that you have a picture in your mind. Starting on the left, we want your bright ideas, your creative, transformative ideas put together in a short concept outline, no more than 2 pages. Send those to the Expand AI program, and we will review in about 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, takes a little longer. This is the NSF internal review that you see over here on the right. Based on that review, 2 things can happen. We can either invite you to submit a full proposal if your concept outline is well aligned with the goals of the Expand AI program, or if it's not quite well aligned or needs a little work, we will send back your concept outline with a do not invite with feedback to help you revise the concept outline and resubmit. Now, you will agree that this is a relatively light lift in terms of work, 2 pages relative to a 15-page proposal that is declined. And so the whole idea is that you can traverse this loop many times, hopefully not too many, but you can traverse this loop until you have a concept outline that is ready to be invited to the full proposal stage. And once you are at that point, you're welcome to submit a full proposal within 12 months of the invitation to submit. Now, if you do 1 or 2 more clicks, I think that will complete the picture here. Yes, once you submit the full proposal, through research.gov, it will then go through the NSF merit review process. And we will either run panels or do ad hoc review, whichever one is convenient. For cap proposals, sometimes we'll do ad hoc. But in most cases, we will try and do panel for the partner. But really, it's a timing issue. Depends on how many proposals we have in hand and whether it makes sense to put a panel together at that point in time. But regardless, your proposal will be reviewed, will be peer reviewed, and we will then give you feedback. I think there's 1 more click to complete the picture. Thank you. Two possibilities coming out of the NSF review process. You are either awarded, which is the nice one that we all look forward to, or the proposal is declined, which means it's not quite ready to be funded. And one thing I will say is that with the decline, you will get plenty of feedback from reviewers and from NSF program officers. Consider going back, reviewing your concept outline, because it could be that some of the faults, some of the weaknesses actually happen because of a weakness in the concept outline. Go back and revise your concept outline, resubmit the concept outline for review, and get your invitation for a full proposal so that you can submit another proposal. So hopefully this slide gives you a picture of the process. And if you have questions, we will take them, as Jim said, in the Q&A. Next slide, please. I think that's my last. Okay. Next would be Dylan, I believe.
Yeah, that's correct. Thanks, Abby. Dylan Watching. I'm a AAAS fellow at the NSF working with the Expand AI program. Just real quickly going to go through some of the eligibility requirements for both the CAP and the partner proposals. Next slide. The organizations that can submit a proposal to the Expand AI program, the proposals may only be submitted by minority serving colleges or universities, meeting the criteria listed under the eligible institutions of higher education in the program solicitation. Again, that's that NSF 23-506. And I believe we'll provide a link to the solicitation directly at some point. Note, as Abby had mentioned, only eligible organizations that have received an official program officer concurrence email inviting a full proposal based on a CO may submit a full proposal. If there is a full proposal that's submitted without going through the concept outline process, you risk being returned without review. Who may serve as a PI on these proposals? The principal investigator must hold a full-time faculty appointment or be a senior administrator at an eligible institution as defined in the solicitation. Another thing to note that in the partner proposal specifically, a co-PI must be identified to represent each partnering AI institute. So whichever AI institute as a partner track you are going to be partnering with, one of their senior leaders or senior personnel must be identified as a co-PI on the actual CO and the full proposal. Next slide. The institutional eligibility, this is just pulled directly from the solicitation. It just goes through some of those that may be submitted by accredited institutions of higher education. Those include Alaska Native serving institutions, Hispanic serving institutions, historically Black colleges and universities, predominantly Black institutions, Native Hawaiian serving institutions, Native American serving non-tribal institutions and tribal colleges and universities. There's this other category, other minority serving institutions, which the details of which are laid out in the solicitation. Whenever you're looking at eligibility and wondering if your university or your institution is eligible, please always refer back to the solicitation. It's laid out pretty explicitly in there which one falls under which. Next slide. The concept outlines. These are the process by which Abby had mentioned and talked about. We receive a two-page concept outline, and NSF looks at that concept outline and determines if it is responsive to the Expand AI program objectives. These concept outlines are required for both the capacity building track and the partner track. This really ensures proposers do not expend a ton of time or resources in preparing those full proposals that don't have a strong potential to be responsive to the program objectives. The COs are, as I said, two-page maximum. They must be sent as a PDF attachment to this Expand AI program at nsf.gov email with some subject line, CO, and then the title as it appears in the concept outline. If the concept outline is deemed to be not responsive to the Expand AI program objectives, the proposer will receive notice from Expand AI team to not submit a full proposal, or that you are not being invited to submit a full proposal. As Abby said, we'll probably give you a lot of feedback on ways that you can possibly revise the idea, or if the idea needs to go back to the drawing board. Resubmitted COs need to have been substantially revised according to the reviewer's comments. Next slide, please. I just kind of wanted to go through the anatomy of concept outlines. A really basic example of what they look like. Next, you can go ahead and tap through, I think, three times. Yeah, that's good. The title needs to be clearly identified. The title has to include either CAP or partner, depending on which track you're submitting to. Please have a descriptive title of the project for which you are proposing in the CO. The name of the PI and the co-PIs, you can list up the five personnel here. For the partner CEOs, remember to include a co-PI from a partnering AI institute. Then the third section here is the MSI status. So here you have about 250 words to describe the submitting institution's current AI capacity in all the areas, so research, instruction, and infrastructure, especially how it relates to the proposed CO. For the two different tracks, we're looking for essentially two different things here. As you can see, we have this MSI status and then the current AI capacity. So for the capacity building track, so the CAP track, we want you in this section to demonstrate a compelling institutional need for capacity building in AI. And for the partner track, we want you to describe a suitable foundation for success in the collaboration detailed in the CO. So we're looking for some level of current AI capacity that would lead us to believe that you would be successful in proposing to the partner track. Next slide, please. And then, so the last section of the concept outline is just the goals section. So here for capacity building track, so the CAP track, you have 500 words about to describe the outcomes and the benefits of the capacity building to the MSI. So we really want you to outline the goals and any plans that are going to be fully described in the full proposal's capacity building plan, and really highlight how you see institutional change due to the proposed work. So the partner track, also 500 words. In this goal section for the partner track, we want you to identify the organizations and the prospective collaborative work in a unifying theme or focus. So we really want you to be selective and choose AI institutes that you're going to be working with, and the proposal or the concept outline that you're proposing really be have a unifying theme with that AI institute. Here, we want you to outline the shared goals and identify the prospective projects that are going to be described in the partnership roadmap in the full proposal. And then we also want this section to clearly highlight the mutual benefit and the potential benefits to both the MSI and the AI institution. So we want this kind of value add both ways. So value added to the MSI and value added to the AI institute via this collaboration. Go ahead, next slide. Yeah, so just some details about the full proposal. Next slide, and the submission. So again, an official email from the Expand AI team has to invite you or invite a concept outline to submit the full proposal. The Expand AI program has recurring proposal submission windows, as Abby had mentioned. So unlike deadlines, the submission windows allow the proposers a greater deal of flexibility to submit a full proposal at any time. Each submission window has a closing date. The system will shut down about 5 p.m. at the submitter's local time and then open up the next morning until the final submission window for the year. An organization can submit one proposal per submission window, and then an organization must wait for determination from NSF. So that be, this is full proposal, so whether it be a decline, award, or returned without review, on pending proposal submissions before submitting a new proposal in the next window. Declined proposals require a new invitation to submit via the concept outline process and significant revision. So if you do make it to the full proposal step, we want you to really take the opportunity to revise that concept outline and really show in that concept outline process that you are taking the reviewer's comments and suggestions into account when you're submitting that new concept outline. And then an organization that has received an invitation to submit a full proposal must wait for that proposal to be submitted and resolved before submitting another concept outline. And just a note on the limit of number of proposals per PI or co-PI, that there are no current restrictions or limit. Next slide. So yeah, the submission windows, we're in the first window of the year, lasting from January 8th to March 11th. And then we have concurrent windows all the way until October 17th of 2025. So there's plenty of time to go through the whole process of COs and submitting for the rest of the year. Next slide. So this, wanting to go into some kind of highlight some of the sections of a full proposal. So all of these sections and the guidelines will be explicitly laid out in the solicitation. But some of the important ones are, of course, the title, the project summary, and then the project description is the main one that I kind of wanted to touch on. So for the project description for the full proposal, you have to follow the requirements of the PAPPG. And then specifically for each track, so whichever track you're submitting to, track one, you need these four sections explicitly laid out in the project description. So the need and potential, the capacity building plan, broader impacts, and then personnel. And then for track two, the partner track, you want to have these explicit sections: AI capacity, the collaboration plan, benefits to AI capacity, broader impacts, and then personnel. So next slide, please. Here are some other sections of the proposal that are, of course, very important, but just wanted to note them. Again, this is just a brief overview, but please follow the guidelines laid out in the solicitation. These are pretty detailed in the solicitation. I just kind of took the section titles, and much more detail for each section is in the solicitation. Next slide. And I think this is going to be the last one on the full proposal submission or preparation. So for both proposal tracks, or proposals to both tracks, full proposals are submitted via the research.gov. Please follow all of the NSF proposal and award policies and procedures guide. And then I have some links here, which we'll also share when we share the slides. And then also full proposals may be submitted via the grants.gov. And then next slide. And I believe I am handing it off to Sabrata. So go ahead, Sabrata.
Thank you, Dylan. Again, welcome everybody. I'm Sabrata Acharya. I lead two of the research expansion programs in within SAIS. One of them is the SAIS MSI, as well as the SAIS Excellence in Research. Today, I'm working to talk to you guys about the capacity building pilots, which is so critical to the solicitation. As was mentioned before, MSIs are central to providing inclusive excellence, and they foster innovation and cultivate talent. And NSF recognizes this, and they are very essential to establish and retain long-term US competitiveness. With that goal, NSF is intentional in broadening institutional participation by increasing the number of SAIS-funded research projects from MSIs in order to build and retain these sustainable research at these institutions. Next slide, please. To that effect, we wanted to share with you that in the first year of execution, we have 6 CAP awards, as Abby had mentioned last year. 10 to 15 CAP capacity building pilots are anticipated in the upcoming year. Planning and growth efforts are intentional in this to build institutional capacity where it does not exist and thus can lead to institutional change and AI everywhere. Successful CAP tracks will result in institutional change and establish AI research in terms of research capacity, education workforce, as well as AI infrastructure capacity. It is important to understand that the plan for engaging appropriate communities in order to evaluate the feasibility of these projects is essential for a future partner proposal with the AI institutes as indicated. It is also critical to consider the requirement for the research infrastructure as it aligns with the institutional needs and long-term institutional goals, and the plan to leverage and establish these groups in order to establish related research areas across or beyond size is something which emphasizes AI everywhere and the need for inclusive excellence. Next slide, please. What demonstrates a great CAP proposal? Again, the first step, making sure that we have the 2-page concept outlines shared with our internal review, that in line with the compelling reason why the institutional need is a requirement to establish resource capacity, including faculty, students, as well as institutional and jurisdictional capacity for AI capacity building. Articulating the vision as it motivates in line with the benefits to the MSI institution, as well as the jurisdiction, is critical. And once the invitation is in from NSF, making sure, as Dylan had mentioned, that the full proposals are addressing the key questions in the solicitation for a successful CAP. two things I would like to highlight. One is the proposals to the track must include a strong institutional need and support statement. And this is something which is in line with what NSF would, or the seed funding from NSF would enable the institution to build that infrastructure, the capacity, and how would the institution demonstrate the outcomes in order to sustain and retain the capacity moving forward. And secondly, successful proposals should also feature a capacity building plan that has the evaluation piece of it in order to measure outcomes and benefits in building and sustaining the research capacity. Next slide, please. Again, a little bit detail into the capacity building plan. Successful proposals will feature a capacity building plan that features measurable outcomes, as I said earlier. Again, these are some examples of what successful activities and suitable plans would include. They are not limited, as was mentioned earlier, but please keep in mind that the seed funding should catalyze the institution's ability to establish and build the AI capacity for research, for workforce, as well as for educational needs. It is important to note, however, that activities need not be limited, and this is something I wanted to highlight. Proposers are encouraged to select and integrate based on their individual institutional and jurisdictional plan and how they engage with the community or have a potential to build partnerships in future with AI institutes or regional AI hubs. Early partnership developments are kind of very appealing and ensure that the MSI is looking both for short-term and long-term needs to build these partnerships to have more regional AI leadership in the long run. Next slide. Competitive gap proposals, and we have highlighted like what has been successful here in the last rounds of review. Strong motivation of the project is very critical because that compelling reason why the institution of the MSI has the potential to do or build the AI capacity and how would these seed dollars from NSF support the change? How does it align with the solicitation goals is very critical. Clearly articulating how the institutional goals align with the Expand AI program and solicitation goals, including faculty training and research experiences, which emphasizes both diversification of PI or investigators, as well as retaining the faculty capacity and student capacity is critical. Creating or new knowledge generation with regards to building AI capacity and maximizing it as they collaborate in future with AI institutes is also important. And of course, demonstrating how the university or the institution supports or helps build AI capacity and retain it as we move forward in the long run is something which gives us NSF indication that this is going to be a good investment. Again, successful CAP proposals would result in the establishment of new AI research capacity, either in research, education, and workforce, and also help build and retain the AI infrastructure for these institutions and jurisdictions. Next slide. I will now transfer it to Stacey.
Thank you, Subrata. I'll speak about the partner track. My name's Stacey Levine. I'm a program director, actually. I'm a neighbor to SISE in the Division of Mathematical Sciences and Mathematical Physical Sciences. And I'm involved in the Expand AI team and a lot of other AI activity here at the agency. So why don't we go to the next slide? So the partner track is really an opportunity for MSIs to scale up already established AI research, education, workforce development, as well as to initiate new collaborations with these AI institutes. So this is really kind of building this continuum. So these are multi-organization collaborations. The proposal is submitted by the MSI, but it includes a subaward to one of the AI institutes. I saw in one of the questions, people were asking, do you need to coordinate? And that is the case in the partnership track. Partner projects are centered around shared complementary goals of the MSI and the AI institute that they're partnering with. The proposing MSI is not required to have been awarded a CAP project under this program. Some might be, some might not be, some institutions are ready for a partner proposal from the onset. The proposal must include a collaboration with at least one of the AI institutes. Typically it's one, but it could be more. And an authentic and significantly new partnership that really has a clear potential to build on the institution's current AI capacity and leverage the strengths and talents of the MSI. So next slide. So part of the work is finding an AI institute to partner with. Some institutions might have some in mind, some might not. The place to start is looking at the AI Institute's virtual organization website, as Jim was referring to earlier. And we also have a list of all of the institutes on the Expand AI page. And I believe that these slides will be available, so you'll have the website in here. Next slide. So what needs to go into the partner concept outlines as well as the proposal? So in the concept outline, what we're really looking for is that the MSI capacity is suitable for a partner track, that they're ready to scale up, and there's really a concept in there. And there's a concept in there to for this partnership. And so we're looking for this clearly identified and described partnership goals that really demonstrate benefits on two fronts, benefits to the submitting MSI, as well as benefits to the partnering AI Institute. Once a concept outline is invited for a full proposal, what we're looking for in the full proposal is that the MSIs really demonstrate a readiness to leverage this new partnership to kind of build and develop and keep growing that AI capacity. Benefits of the collaboration to both the benefits of the collaboration to the MSI should really be clearly articulated in the proposal. We're looking that the connections between the identified research efforts and the AI Institute research are strong. So there should be some really clear synergies or potential synergies. And this is really important, and this will come up again on the next slide, is a compelling partnership roadmap, as we're looking for really what's the joint strategy for this collaborative work. There should be arrangements described to really significantly scale up the AI capacity at the proposing MSI. So we're looking for institutions that have AI capacity and are ready to take it to the next level. We're looking for the growth in AI capacity to be substantial. The activities should, of course, be AI related. And so the three pieces that are specific to these types of proposals that go beyond the standard intellectual merit and broader impact are the partnership roadmap, the institutional need and support statement, and the institute integration plan. And so this is something you'll make sure that's very clear, that's included in the proposal, and it's something reviewers will be looking at as well. So the partnership proposal, as I mentioned, must feature a compelling partnership roadmap that really gives a roadmap for this collaborative work centered around some unifying theme or focus. The proposing MSI needs to also submit a strong institutional need and support statement. And this needs to demonstrate an institutional commitment for the proposed activities, as well as contain a really clear assessment of the current AI research and instructional capacity infrastructure, as well as the progress in AI capacity development and how that relates to the outlook for this partnership development. The third item is an institute integration plan, and that is submitted by the collaborating AI Institute. And this should demonstrate a thoughtful and well-resourced commitment by the Institute to coordination mechanisms that will bring together the various participants of the project at the MSI as well as the AI Institute. Next slide, please. And so we'll end with really these partnership roadmaps, because that piece should be in your proposal, and it's really an important piece in addition to the usual merit review criteria. So these effective roadmaps really need to be clearly depicted. We highly, highly recommend that they should be represented visually, either in a conceptual diagram, logic model, table, however you want to display it, but it should be very clear and visual, as well as fully explained in the descriptive narrative. So you should be expect to do both. The roadmaps, what they should address. It doesn't have to address everything on here, and it's not limited to this list, but these are some examples and key features. The enhancement of the existing projects by virtue of new collaboration. So it can have new existing projects, but we really want to see how this collaboration is going to enhance them. The initiation of new projects that will be enabled by this collaboration between the MSI and the AI Institute. Community building activities, such as workshops, lots of examples to further develop common interest, objectives, and further growth of the partnership. The potential and plans for scaling up nascent programs, and an evaluation plan for measuring the growth and mutual benefit of activities in all projects. So those are some of the key pieces that you should really keep in mind when presenting, when submitting a partnership, a partner proposal. So I'll pass it on to the final presenter.
Yeah, I think so that wraps up, I think, most of what we wanted to discuss, and leave quite a bit of time for questions. I know a lot of questions have been asked in the Q&A box and have been answered. Can we go ahead and go to the next slide? Oh, yeah. So the next slide just has some important dates, those full proposal submission windows, the next office hours, and then some contact information. And then I'm going to go ahead and link some or put some important links in the chat. So the first link is going to be to the actual NSF solicitation. The second link is going to be the Expand AI program webpage. The third link is that AVO website that was mentioned a few times. And then the last link is going to be the tab specifically for Expand AI for AVO website, where it's very easy to find the contact information for all the AI institutes for if you're looking for a partner proposal. And with that, Jim, you want have anything else to say?
Well, let me just first say thank you to the whole team for the great presentation here, and really appreciate the Q&A that's been going on in the background. I might invite my colleagues, Abby, let me just prep your thinking in terms of if you've seen any Q&A coming in that you think might be worth amplifying to the whole group, maybe we'll do so. I have one in mind I'll start with. And also, group, if there are any kind of FAQ kinds of questions that we haven't touched on that you'd like to, we can do that as well. I'd like to address several forms of questions about allowable subawards in the Expand AI program. Sometimes this question comes in the scope of a prospective cap proposal, and sometimes this comes in partner. Let me deal with it in cap first. Sometimes the question is asked, can we have subawards to other institutions in the cap? And then there are variations on this question, like, do they have to be an MSI? Do they have to be affiliated with an AI institute? I'm just going to share with attendees here that the solicitation doesn't restrict you or guide you in any particular way about the permissibility of subawards in the cap track. However, we do want to call your attention to the stated intent of capacity building pilots. These are 400K awards over 2 years to build new capacity and create institutional change at the proposing institution. So the thing that the working group tends to look at very critically is, in what way are you adding to the potential to make that institutional change by shipping part of your budget out in a subaward to another institution? So you can imagine there's a fairly kind of critical bar to clear there to make the case that no, your institution will actually be better off by subawarding part of the budget into a collaborative arrangement. If your situation makes sense to do that, that will come clear in our exchange about your concept outline. And this is part of the reason why we have the concept outline phase. So you can describe to us your plans and you'll receive feedback from us and sometimes back and forth to refine your idea. I'll just deal briefly with the partner track. It's ordinary, of course, to have sub-awards with the AI Institute in the partner track. It's not ordinary to include other sub-awards, often because when you're sub-awarding to the AI Institute, you are now connected to itself, a vast network of institutions. But again, this is the kind of thing you can describe in your concept outline and then later, if invited, in the full proposal. And we can refine those ideas as proposed. So I wanted to deal with that typical question about sub-awards. And meanwhile, Abby, I see you're off mute. Is there anything else you think we should touch on?
Well, I think the issue of partnerships with CAP awards, you've pretty much explained well. What I wanted to emphasize is we are discouraging multiple MSIs from trying to partner in a CAP situation. We had several questions about that, and we actually saw that happen at the beginning of the program. It's not encouraged because every MSI is different. And if you come to us saying you want to build capacity through institutional change at your MSI, change in AI, we expect that you will custom build a program of change for your institution that addresses the specific needs that you have. And so it doesn't make sense to partner with another MSI in the CAP situation. Now, in the partner situation, you are partnering with an AI institute. And so the emphasis should be on how you can leverage the resources, the expertise of the institute to scale up what you have at your MSI. So again, there, it doesn't really make sense to draw in another MSI. So this program actually is for MSIs to focus on their specific needs. Each MSI, focus on your specific need, whether it is at the CAP level or at the partner level, and craft a really compelling concept outline and proposal to us here at NSF to help you achieve those goals. So that's what I would emphasize. I think we've pretty much covered the other questions that I see in the Q&A, other than sort of the
So we could like handle some of this incoming live, if you like. I just typed an answer to a question that others might want to hear, and that is, are evaluation plans required for the proposals? The question didn't specify which track. My answer to that question is that, which I just typed in, is that the program, the solicitation does not require, but it does suggest, it does encourage you to consider including evaluation plans in each of these tracks. And just consider that including an evaluation plan, if you choose to do that, can be a good way to convey to reviewers that you have a concrete idea what success will look like and a plan to measure progress toward that success.
Yeah, and I second that, Jim. The evaluation plan is not a requirement, but if you do put it in, it helps us see how you plan to measure outcomes and determine whether or not you're doing what you said you would do. So we're looking at the process of project execution here, the evaluation of that process. And so if you do put in an evaluation plan, I would not recommend that the PI be the evaluator because there is some conflict of interest there. For objectivity and independence of evaluation, have a third party, a qualified third party, look at what you're doing and provide evaluation of the process.
Taking a beat here to see if other colleagues have things they'd like to jump in on. Otherwise, I've marked a few things to answer live. One is that a question was asked here about if you wish to put a partner proposal together with an institution that's not the lead institution of an AI institute, is that an allowable configuration? Yes. In fact, the solicitation is explicit about this. So please read that section about eligibility and partnering with AI institutes. The The collaboration can be with any designated senior personnel in any institution that's part of the AI Institute, and where you'll get the overall institute sign on to your project is in that institute partnership plan, where the institute director themselves are going to stress how, yes, we understand this to be an institute thing. This PI who's partnered on the Expand AI thing is indeed part of the institute, and this is worked into our strategy. So there's a lot of flexibility there for you. Another one I see here that I think we can answer live is somebody mentions that they had some outreach to AI institutes about potential partnerships and didn't really get anything going yet, possibly because of maybe mismatch of goals or something like that. Yeah, we understand. Partnership building can be tricky in the early going, right? And so the specific question is, in what way does NSF facilitate communication between AI institutions and MSIs? So the main function we have for that right now is use of the AVO organization, the AI Institute's virtual organization. So I know it's just a directory on surface, right? When you go to the Expand AI page, there's lists of contacts at the institution. But AVO is more than just that website. There are people behind that website who know well the AI Institutes. And so if you contact AVO, they might help you understand where institute emphasis is and how that might align with your institution and who to talk to and that sort of thing. So we do encourage you to talk to AVO about that if you're not sure where to go from there.
And I see Dylan was going to answer the question on focus on building capacity in education without research.
Yeah, I can go ahead and talk on that. Yeah, so it is completely within the scope of the program, especially with the capacity building track, if you want to focus solely on one aspect. So if you want to focus solely on AI education, that's within the scope of the capacity building track.
These are great questions. Please keep them coming. We have a good 20 more minutes. So yeah, if you would like us to scroll back to a particular slide, we'd be happy to do that.
There's a fairly commonly asked question that has popped up today and has come up over the past months. And that is, if I already have an award from Expand AI, can my institution participate in the program again, submit a concept outline, submit a new proposal? There's no restriction in the solicitation about that. So in principle, your institution can apply as many times as it wants in accordance with the rules in the solicitation. One award does not have to end before another award can begin. It's not necessary that you have a CAP award, as you've heard before, in order to submit for a partner. If you have a CAP award, if you have a CAP award or have submitted for a CAP award previously, that doesn't mean you can't later submit for a partner or vice versa. The role of the concept outline phase for us will be first to provide you feedback on any concepts that you send us, and we'll give you the best feedback we can, so you can figure out what's the best track to engage in and timeline and that sort of thing.
So I see a question here. Our research group is based at an MSI classified institution and is conducting research independently. Which track would we qualify for? Track one, capacity building, or track two, partnership? And my answer to that is, it really depends on the level of AI research at your MSI. If your capacity is minimal, so maybe just one or two faculty, when you say research group, it sounds like a small number. I would say you would still potentially be eligible for capacity building, because remember, the capacity building is to propagate the use of AI technologies and AI research across the institution. you are talking about your research group. And that is a situation that often happens on campus. The AI research is concentrated in CS departments or engineering departments. The rest of the campus is not really using AI. Now, that in that case, you as an MSI can make a case for building institutional capacity in AI and extend your reach to other colleges or departments on your campus. Now, if you happen to be a large group, perhaps it's a whole department with 20, 25, maybe even 30 researchers already involved in AI, and you feel that you are ready to partner with an AI institute in a specific line of research, agriculture, climate change, optimization, whatever it is you specialize in, then I would go for the track 2 partnership. Do the homework, talk to the institute, and ensure that there is good alignment, and then work with them to put together a strong partner proposal. So thank you for that question.
A pretty good question in our open list here. I'll just read it out here. As faculty, it might be hard to get the overall capacity of the AI in the institution, or to have an institution-wide effect, right? I would be more familiar with my own group, know a little about the other faculty groups. How do I submit the institutional capacity and needs? I describe my own group's capacity and needs more precisely. Yes. So depending on where you're situated in your college or university, you may have a broad view of the goals of your institution vis-a-vis starting new AI programs, or you might have a local view of what you want to do on a project and need to relate that to the broader institution goals, right? So please think of it this way. Part of the reason we ask you to go gather that letter, that statement from a department head or a head of a school or something like that, the institutional need and capacity and need statement. That's the thing that's kind of the function that gets you to engage with that level of leadership in your school and say, hey, look, there exists this Expand AI program. I think my project or my idea fits into this. And we're expected to be doing this in the context of building something for lasting AI capacity. How does this fit into strategy? And then you guys can state that. So you're not the one, just to be clear, the person who asked the question and to anybody else interested, you're not the one really who's writing this institutional need and support letter. The leadership that you go to is writing this, and they're kind of providing both an assurance to NSF that this proposal fits into a broader institutional strategy and also gives you the sort of forcing function for that discussion about how does this fit in? How can we situate this proposal in such a way that we're conveying an intent for lasting institution-wide change? So remember, you know, the end result, we hope, of, you know, any capacity building pilot is that more research capacity, more educational capacity, new programs will exist in your institution relative to AI than would have otherwise, right? And not just that a local project with limited scope took place and then got forgotten. Okay, I think we're done with that one. Keep them coming.
So there is the question on budget, which we really haven't addressed to the group. Is there an expectation on how the budget is divided between partners? And I would say be careful there. This program has a focus on the MSI. And so we expect the majority of the funds to be used at the MSI, not at the AI Institute, if you're doing a partner project. And so if you're splitting up the budget, we don't want to see half the money go to the AI Institute. They're already well endowed. What we're looking for more is perhaps an 80-20 or 70-30 split So that's not an absolute number, but just to give you some idea, most of the funds must be leveraged to improve the AI research activity, to enhance the activity of faculty at the MSI. With respect to the cap, obviously all the funds will go to the MSI. Most of the funds should go to the MSI. If there are partners involved, you have to make the case for bleeding off, if you can put it that way, some of your precious NSF funds to a partner rather than using it in-house at your own institution.
Plus one. It's really important consideration where partner proposals are concerned. One thing I'd like to set everybody's mind at ease about is that the institutes know what NSF's expectations are here too. As Abby mentioned, institutes are well-funded to begin with to conduct a broad range of activities that likely relate to your collaboration, right? And so the role of the subaward is to demonstrate sufficient sort of allocation of resources on the part of that AI institute, that it's a real two-way collaboration, right? That their contribution is meaningful. But they also know that the result of the Expand AI award is meant to be the institutional change we're trying to promote at the proposing institution, your institution. So institutes know this, and you should have no problem coming to those agreements with them. So here's a question. What's an appropriate amount to allocate for evaluation if you include one? We can't really give you guidelines on that. This is a matter for your proposal. While we won't give you some kind of like a template, like here's an amount to put in your budget, one way to think about evaluations and where to resource that is think outside the box a little bit. Is it possible that your institution has resources that can actually be brought to bear as sources of external evaluation that you're able to leverage in your project, right? That might not be at direct cost to your award. Those kinds of things are, you know, can be interesting ways to think about that. Otherwise, any proposal sent to NSF that has a budget submission and budget justification, well, that's part of your proposal. And what you'll do is propose what you think is the reasonable allocation of resources to that activity. And then if NSF has questions about it, that can be discussed during free award negotiations.
And I would add to that, if I see a budget with anything more than 5 to 8% allocated to the evaluator, I get concerned and look at it very, very carefully. So that's in the directorate in which I work, in which we're, in many cases, the programs are required to have evaluators. So be careful about siphoning too much of your funds for the evaluation piece. It should certainly be under 10%.
Dylan, is there anything we've been encountering on the regular you think might be worth highlighting to the group? Not to put you on the spot if there's not anything, but I want to, you know, give you the opportunity.
Yeah, maybe in the concept outline process, a lot of things that maybe we've been encountering is what we've talked about a little bit, but in the CAP track, we really want you to demonstrate in that concept outline how there's capacity building due to whatever your proposed research is at the institution. So we're really looking for a clear like description of what the institutional change is expected. And then for the CEO, for the partner track, really highlight that mutual benefit to both the MSI and the AI Institute.
So I have one comment, and thank you, Dylan, and that's on broader impacts. I think it showed up maybe on a couple of slides that Dylan went through. NSF has two merit review criteria, agency-wide, intellectual merit and broader impacts. And both apply, are applicable to the Expand AI program when reviewers review proposals. So keep that in mind. However, having said that, we do put a slightly greater emphasis on broader impacts for CAP proposals, especially in the early years of the program where we're trying to build up the portfolio. In other words, when you're trying to build capacity up from scratch in AI at your institution, we do not expect you to necessarily come up with cutting edge research findings that would amount to great intellectual merit strengths. And so we're looking more for the CAP proposals at the broader impacts of the different types of interventions that you're proposing for building capacity at the MSI. So if you're developing new curricula, we want to see how that is impacting students, how that's impacting the faculty, and how you're measuring that impact. We do not expect that anything necessarily groundbreaking will come out of that from a research standpoint or from an intellectual merit standpoint. So just wanted to point that out, that for capacity building proposals, especially in the review process, there will be greater emphasis perhaps on the broader impact side to make sure that you're truly having a broad impact across the campus. That's a little different for the partner proposals, because there you're trying to scale up research capacity at an MSI that is already well endowed in terms of research capacity in AI. Because you're trying to scale up, we expect that you will continue to produce cutting edge technology, new innovations. The creativity will go up when you partner with an AI institute in a partner project. So for that, lots of intellectual merit strengths should emerge. So hopefully that didn't kind of confuse folks, but I thought I would mention it since it was on the slides.
That's a really important and valuable point for the community. If any of the in the remaining time we have, if anybody has a sort of a reaction or follow up to that, please feel free to type it into Q&A. Otherwise, with no more incoming, we'll give it just like two more beats in case somebody's typing furiously. Go ahead and hit enter real fast. Otherwise, we're going to start taking this thing in for a landing. Please put your seat backs upright and put your tray tables up. We are very glad that you joined us for the webinar. As you'll have noticed in the program, we have a lot of ways in which we continually try to stay engaged with the community and be available to you. So, do join our webinars. Please take note of our office hours. We post new times for office hours on the regular, and those are more informal opportunities to get together, normally in a group of program officers like this one, and just talk about your individual situations. And you can always get in touch with us individually by email, ask us your questions about your concept outline. And the entire program is set up to have an exchange with the community and to help you to shape your ideas and engage successfully with the program. So with that, I'd like to thank again my colleagues for your presentation in the webinar. Thank all of our attendees for attending, and you can look for the recording and the slides to be posted on the program page within the next few days. Okay, thanks everyone.